Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today our guest is Greg Norris, my oldest son. Greg began working for the company around 2004. He finished our Rosamond project up and then began buying bank-owned properties and trustee sales. Greg, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Just a little background. What did you do prior to coming to work with our company?
Well, I spent a lot of time as an electrician, went through a union program in Los Angeles, started out just as a regular apprentice, worked my way up through journeyman, foreman, general foreman, and eventually went into project management and estimating.
How has your experience in the construction field help you in the buy-sell business?
Well, I think managing construction is a very big part of the buy-sell business, and being able to finish jobs on time and have good contracts, the ability to weed out contractors that are bad, all of those things play a part in efficiently moving through properties.
It helps you recognize defects in properties that you don't want to deal with as well?
Sure. I'm more likely to recognize, hey, that's a bad roof or that one just needs minor repairs. All of those things definitely help.
Okay. Many of our students have difficulty figuring out that end of the business, the repairs. So if you were starting from scratch, how would somebody get up to speed doing repair estimates?
Take our course.
Okay.
would be a good start. I think it would also be good just to go out to a job site with a general contractor, maybe a house that you know looks like it needs pretty heavy repairs, and just get to see the job site through his eyes. If you're totally unfamiliar with construction, he should be able to help you out. If you take our course, we'll give you some very good ideas of some ways to take some shortcuts as to how to estimate some of those things, and should help you become relatively accurate very quickly at doing repair estimates.
When you go out into the field and you take a look at 20 properties, let's say, how repetitive are the repairs? Are we looking at the same thing 80% of the time?
It depends on the inventory. REOs, it just depends on what you've got. Sometimes some REOs have very light rehabs, but usually I don't get those. I usually get the heavy rehabs, the ones that nobody wants to touch. So if you're talking about the ones I actually end up getting, yes, those repairs are usually very repetitive. Basically, you're starting with a shell and you gut it, you start over.
Yeah.
The lighter rehabs, they can vary just depending on what you're left with.
When you make a repair estimate, you don't even take notes when you walk through the house. How did you get to that point, and how do you not miss stuff?
Well, a lot of repetition is one of the ways. when I went and started out doing the auctions for you, I was seeing 40 to 60 properties a day. After you see so many houses and you start almost being able to estimate them before you walk in, as far as missing things, we're going to miss things. That's impossible not to miss things, at least especially at the speed that I have to go through a property to get one. I guess I'm not so concerned about missing something as I am making sure that I have at least 90 to 95% of the repairs accurately reflected on my repair sheet. If I miss a couple $1,000 item, it's not going to be the end of the world.
Plus, you kind of build in a little cushion there. If you get that feeling that you're not really seeing everything, or you might not have any chance to have utilities on, you just build a little cushion into the unknown factor and you cover it that way?
Yes.
Do you find that age of the property significantly changes the risk factor in what might surprise you?
Absolutely. Okay. It changes the risk factor. And you just definitely need to pay attention to what repairs were made. Sometimes you walk in an older property, and many repairs were made by the previous owner. So, those are beautiful houses, but all too often that's not the case. And, all of the plumbing can be bad, had electrical be bad virtually throughout entire houses, it's definitely a much higher risk.
Recently, we dealt with a home where it seemed like the former owner had made some attempts to fix it, but they weren't so good. So the one house when we, and I don't know if he had done a lot of things to it, but there was a home I remember in San Bernardino County that was red marked, where you were really doing a lot of redesign. And that was the first time I saw you do that.
Mm-hmm.
So has the REO inventory being so short, has it really now necessitated taking on some of those heavier projects that, you know, only a few of you guys can get to the finish line, where permits might be necessary or room additions or that type of thing?
Sure, that very well could be the case. I guess I'm not sure where to go with that.
No problem. No, it's just I noticed the complexity of the projects has gone from the kitchen and the bath replacements to wall moving and permits.
I think that really just depends on what the house gives you. That particular house that you're talking about just had a very awkward layout. The person had tried to do a remodel themselves. They just did a very poor job of relaying out the house, so it was almost better to tear it apart and come up with a more attractive layout. Some houses just give you that, and some don't.
I don't think you ever went to school for that. Is that just something that you inherently have a kind of feel of what a house should flow like? Because I don't have it, frankly. I don't.
Well, I appreciate that. I think it's just a combination of getting to see many, many houses, understanding and having a pretty good feel for what people like, knowing what I personally like myself,
mm-hmm.
and just trying to see what can be done to maximize space and to get the most out of it.
When you choose a general contractor, what is the process of making sure you've got somebody that potentially can be good?
Well, the first thing that they have to go through is our application process, where we check out their license, make sure that they have workman's comp, general liability policy. All of those things play a part initially. That's just step number one. If they pass that part, then they usually end up bidding on one of our projects, and usually that's where we separate the men from the boys. Either they know how to compete or they don't.
Okay. What percentage of the contractors have everything that they're supposed to, licenses, all the insurances right up front? It's not
probably not very many. A lot of them are handymen. They like to do everything without a license, and I just, with how much we do, I just cannot risk having those guys. Usually I'm able to weed them out very quickly. All they have to do is take a look at our application, and usually they get a very good idea very quickly whether or not they have any business doing business with us. So it kind of weeds them out all by itself, just the application process.
Is there a place where somebody can actually check out if somebody's license has been, you know, somebody's losing their license or they're not insured? Is there websites for that type of thing?
Yes, the California State License Contracting Board. You can usually look up any licensed contractor on there, and it will also tell you whether or not they actually have workman's compensation right there on the website.
Okay. Now, if they do have it, does that mean they have it for everyone, or it just means they have it?
Does it mean they have workman's comp for everyone?
Yeah, in other words, you could have a 10-person crew showing they have workman's comp, but it might be only for one person or two.
That is very true. I guess from an owner's perspective, you can't always monitor all of that.
Yeah.
And as long as they have a workman's comp policy in place, I feel pretty well protected, because if for some reason that employer is not including everybody on his workman's comp policy and somebody gets hurt, that workman's comp policy, as I understand the law, will cover that employee. That contractor, though, may be in a lot of trouble with his workman's comp policy.
Right. Okay. When you're dealing with contractors, how important is paying these guys on time?
I would suppose it depends on the contractor. The relationships we've developed now at this point, they don't need to be paid right away. I think that's a pretty scary thing for a contractor when they've probably been burned by other people that don't pay them. I think that probably that relationship develops, and the comfort level of the contractor getting paid becomes less important over time as they see that you're 100%, you know, who you say you are, and that you pay your bills on time, and that they never have a problem over collecting on extras. That type of all of those things play a part.
Okay, so basically, they're really looking for somebody that's capable of being fair with them and making sure that their welfare is looked out for as well.
Absolutely. I mean, there's times where my general contractor can't get a hold of me. In fact, it just happened. There was a house we had in Corona. The air conditioning unit was 15 years old. He couldn't get a hold of me, but he knew I needed it closed. I told him, please devote all your energy to it. And he had to make an executive decision, as he calls it, to replace the unit. And he went ahead and did it. We got a screaming deal on it. I can't complain. And he made the right decision. We've just worked together long enough that he knows what needs to be done. And it's become a real pleasure to work with him.
So he's just become this is like a team, an extended team partner in a way.
Absolutely.
Okay. Compared to the peak of the market, what have prices done as far as labor probably the labor side of construction? How far down have they come since the peak years when everyone was busy?
That is hard for me to judge. I don't really have anything to compare it to, since I wasn't rehabbing homes at the peak of the market. I was more building new homes.
Right.
I would say the prices have definitely dropped. Contractors are not trying to put 20, 30, 40, 50% on a job. They're just happy to have a job. I'd say prices are definitely down. As far as how much, I really couldn't. I couldn't even guess on that.
Okay, it's quite a bit though. When we hire a contractor, it seems like we're doing some fair checking out on who we're going to deal with. Do they do the same thing, or are they in a position where they're just really happy to have something to do?
Most of my general contractors do a lot of the work themselves, so there's not a whole lot of subs that they use. I actually have a approved subcontractor list, and right in our contract it will state that if you don't use a subcontractor on our list, you're basically in violation of the contract.
Okay.
So we check out all the subs that they're using, and if any of those subs want to be paid directly, they have to go through our application process just like a general contractor.
Mm-hmm.
If the general contractor decides to pay the sub himself directly, he is really taking on a lot of the liability if those subs have any problems, because he signed a contract stating to the effect that he would not hire anybody who was not a licensed subcontractor. And as I understand it, even under workman's comp law, if that general contractor hires a sub that is using employees and an employee gets hurt, it will actually be covered underneath his workman's comp policy.
And you learned all of this stuff where? It wasn't
lawyers.
For me.
And lots of your money.
Okay. gradually watching our rehabs, they've just become just really pretty cool, especially if we get to touch a house where we need everything. Mm. Are you constantly tweaking what's best to do, or is it sort of in the can right now?
Right now, it's really in the can. I feel like we have really mastered it. Honestly, when changes occur, like say a part gets changed or whatever, most of the time I don't even know about it right now. Dale, our general contractor, just does such a good job at doing all of that for us. Contracting has become a very easy part of this business for us.
But it was front-loaded with a lot of effort finding those guys.
It was tremendous, and now that everyone has the system down, I don't think Dale would take a job with anybody else. Honestly, I think he's gotten so used to our system and how we work together, I don't think he would even want to try working for anybody else. I've had other contractors actually go out and try to do this for other investors, and they come back to me and tell me of all of their horror stories of working with other people that don't know what they're doing. I have a great strength in project management.
Right,
that's probably one of my strongest assets of coming to this business.
Well, which might come into play a lot in the future. We're going to poke around in the land arena here in the next couple of years, so that'll be very interesting to see how that comes out.
I'm looking forward to that.
You've coined a new word, Gucci.
Gucci.
What's Gucci?
I don't think I coined that one. I think that's a manufacturer of a specific type of high-end product, I guess, that people pay for, a lot of money for.
Okay. So that's what – are we doing Gucci now in our houses?
It depends on the product. You know, we're starting to see some interesting product come through at the trustee sales. And we're starting to buy some pretty customized homes, and it's a little out of my realm of comfort right now, but I'm interested in it and growing into it quickly.
Okay. When someone walks into one of our houses, what do you want their reaction to be?
Just that everything is in order. That when they walk in, a lot of times they'll see the staging inside already in, and it I guess it relieves their fears that there's anything wrong because everything looks and is repaired.
Right. So that makes their decision quicker, perhaps, when they say, okay, you know what, we've seen everything else, this is best, let's take it?
I really feel like that puts us over the top. I think people come in and just see a very finished home and it's staged, and I think it just makes the decision for the buyer all that much easier. I have a feeling that buyer's agents show many properties to buyers, and when they walk into our house, it's usually a done deal.
Have you gotten feedback from realtors as far as what they feel when they're looking for homes? Are they checking with you to see if you have anything? Or has their reputation gone into that world at this point?
It has. You know, it was a little bit of a fight at first. It almost felt like maybe we were over-repairing.
Yeah.
It seems like it's come full circle where people are actually looking for our houses now and overpaying for our houses.
That's a good thing. When you say overpaying, it just partly is they're just another match. There's not a model match to what we've done. So they're wanting that type of finish, but it's just not out there.
Correct. It's a combination of, you know, it's just become a market where there's not as much inventory, which is very helpful, and just being the cleanest, nicest thing on the market usually gets people fighting over your product, and it ends up in bidding wars oftentimes.
Staging, how important has that been as an additional marketing tool?
I would give it a 8 out of 10. I mean, I really believe in it strongly. We probably don't spend more than $500 per house average doing it, and I would say we get far more than that out of it, if nothing else from the speed of the sale. People walk into our house and go, wow, I want this house. It's kind of funny. I mean, none of the staging stays after they purchase it, but I think it definitely facilitates the desire to buy the house.
Sometimes it doesn't stay while we own it.
Occasionally. It's been staying more often than not lately, which has been good.
I think that's maybe the improved locations, too.
Definitely.
Yeah. When people shop for homes, what's their first stop? They're going to buy a house. Where do they go? They go to the realtor.com, or do they go to...
It's a variety of things. It's based on the experience of the buyer. I mean, I know that realtor.com is a very big place where people start because the MLS all gets dumped into realtor.com from all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very good place to start. We do a lot of advertising in realtor.com so that we show up very high on the list of any properties that are shown. Also have that link to all of our other properties. I believe in realtor.com a lot. Some buyers don't want to do a whole lot of that. Maybe they're more experienced and they know how much time can be wasted trying to find a house yourself, especially in a market like this where first eight listings get multiple offers.
Mm-hmm.
They would prefer to work with a realtor because they know the realtor will save them a lot of time and grief.
Okay. When someone makes an offer on a property, you kind of put them through a few hoops to accomplish. What are we hoping to accomplish by putting them through some paces? You know, when we get an offer that we're thinking of accepting, it seems like they've got a to-do list to do.
There is. My counteroffer is usually pretty stiff. It includes just shortening free look periods, having them immediately purchase appraisals and home inspections if they decide to get one. I feel a lot better about an escrow if I know they're spending money very quickly. It gives me a much better feel as to whether or not they're really serious and whether or not this is their house. I usually check out their loan package to make sure that it is what they say it is. I've gone into escrow too many times only to find out after a month and a half of being in escrow that, oh, they lied on their application. That can still happen, but it's happening less often now.
Okay. When you go into escrow, you've got about 30 days or so. What is the biggest thing that stands in the way of getting it closed? Is it there's two people that get involved, the appraiser and the lender, the lending process. So let's talk about each of those for just a minute. The lender themselves, are they being way more cautious than they used to be?
I've had varied experiences. It depends, I think, a lot on the area. When we were in Moreno Valley, I was definitely fighting appraisals more often because there was such an overwhelming evidence of what an REO was worth.
Correct.
But very little evidence of what a repaired property was worth.
Correct.
So that's really what scared us out of Moreno Valley. That is actually reversing at this point. The prices are starting to rise rather rapidly, I think, in Moreno Valley. I don't know if it will stay that way, but it makes sense to me that it would be because the payments on those houses are quite low compared to rent. So ownership is actually cheaper in many cases than renting in Moreno Valley, which is usually a state the market does not remain in for very long.
Yeah. Who was the typical buyer of our Moreno Valley house? Was that almost always an FHA buyer?
Virtually every time.
All right. The rebate of $8,000 for the new buyer, and there's another rebate for $6,500 even if it's a repeat buyer. Do you hear comments back from realtors where that's the reason people are doing what they're doing?
Never.
Never?
Not even once.
Okay. They're going to get the check anyway, but...
That could be. You know, it may just be that it has nothing to do with them purchasing the property, or maybe they just don't talk to me about it. That could be. But I've never once had anybody say, we need to hurry up and get this because we want to get the $8,000 check.
Okay. If investors seem to be having trouble selling their homes, where would you look first? What would be the problem you'd like to uncover and say, that's got to be the problem?
I would look at your competition, look in the MLS and see who is in your area and whether or not their properties are selling and what for. Look at the condition of their property. It's usually a combination of the condition of your home or being priced incorrectly and possibly, problems with the property where it's located. You know, if you're backing a railroad, it's not comparable to someone that's not.
Okay.
So if all of those things play a part in determining whether or not your property is going to move.
Is this a tough market if there's that inherent flaw in location? So, you know, you've got one of those, and you can't remove the railroad tracks and you're sort of stuck with it. About the only thing you can do is lower the price until somebody goes, I'll take it.
You know, the market's gotten a lot better, but I know I would never risk buying one of those type of properties with that type of flaw. So I can't say I would know. I guess I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to anything that backs a golf course, whether or not they're moving. I know that they're selling for a lot less.
You said
that I have noticed.
You said backs a golf course. You're thinking of stuff we have.
I'm sorry, backs a railroad.
What if you had a railroad house and it had a pool? Now, there you go.
No, would not be interested at all.
Okay. We got about a minute left. The 90-day FHA rule just got lifted.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think the impact of that will be, where we no longer have to wait 90 days to sell it?
I am not sure. I think the prices at the wholesale level will actually come up because now the investors know they don't have to wait quite as long to resell.
Yep.
I do see that happening, and I would imagine that could even push the property values up to some extent. It all depends on the FHA appraisers and the easing up of whether or not they allow prices to actually start appreciating. Before, they always factored in depreciation.
Right.
Now, the something new that they haven't experienced for a couple of years, prices are actually starting to come up.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. They just look at the evidence and draw a fair conclusion. Hopefully, they'll go back to that. Well, Greg, a half hour's flown. Thanks a lot for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.